It's the Naked Scientists with Chris and Kat, and we're joined this week by, first up, Janet Sumner from the Open University. Hello, Janet.
Hi, Chris.
Thank you for coming in. Now, tell us, you're interested in looking at the subject of why we get mega eruptions and meteorites and things that wipe stuff out.
Yeah, I work on natural hazards, and they're pretty much larger things than Joel's curtain hazards. In fact, they're pretty big natural hazards.
This would be a sort of giga curtain.
It would be a super giga curtain, yeah. It's the kind of thing that really results in a global mass extinction. You know, that's a total eradication of entire groups of species. We're talking like the death of the dinosaurs here, basically.
So what do you think actually triggers the death of the dinosaurs? Do you know what it was? Was it a massive great eruption? We're all used to the idea that some kind of meteorite slammed into Earth. Which do you think it is?
Well, that's true, actually. I mean, it was, and it still is, widely believed that the dinosaurs were wiped out by the impact of the Chicxulub meteorite into the Yucatan Peninsula in Mexico about 65 million years ago. But there have been five great mass extinctions in the past 450 million years. And the dinosaur one is the only one associated with a meteorite impact. All the other mass extinctions, including the dinosaurs as well, all correspond to the outpourings of huge flood lava eruptions.
Well, if we could look at both of those things in turn then. So the meteorite that slammed into the Gulf of Mexico, how big would that have been to have been able to alter the planet so dramatically that nearly all life ceased?
Well, it was many, many tens of kilometres across. And basically the effects of a large meteorite impact like that are devastating. But the fact is, because we'd had this really long-running volcanic eruption going on for thousands of years, the dinosaurs were already on the way out, and all the impact did was finish them off a bit quicker.
Oh, that's interesting. I didn't realise that the dinosaurs were already waning, because I thought they were kind of at their peak around that time.
No, they'd already pretty much had it, because there'd been one of these huge flood lava eruptions going on in India for many thousands of years. And what we now know happens with these flood lava eruptions is, when a volcano explodes, it releases ash and sulphur. That gets up into the atmosphere, and it produces a kind of blanket in the atmosphere, and that prevents the sun's rays from getting through. So it causes a global environmental change. And interestingly, it's actually the opposite of what's going on at the moment, because right now we've got global warming. When you get a big flood lava eruption like this, you actually get global cooling, because this blanket stops the rays of the sun from getting through and keeping us warm.
So what actually is this flood lava? Where does it come from? What provokes it? And why is it so devastating?
These massive eruptions are often associated with plate tectonic movements and rifting and big upwellings of hot material coming out of the mantle. And they can break through cracks in the surface. And as I say, they can go on for thousands of years, and they can produce piles of lavas that are up to 3 kilometres thick. Now, the thing about the sulphur and the ashes, you've got to get it up into the atmosphere for it to do its work. And for a long time, scientists thought that flood lavas just kind of spew out onto the ground really quietly and then just flow off. The research that I've been doing has now proved that that's not the case, because I found lots and lots of beds of ash within these flood lava successions. And where you've got ash, you have to have an explosive eruption. So now it looks like that these flood lavas are coming out so violently that the molten rock is being ripped to bits and forming a huge curtain of fire, topped off by a massive ash plume. So, hey presto, now we can get our ash and sulphur up into the atmosphere and cause enough global cooling to cause mass extinctions.
So when was the one which had done for the dinosaurs? You mentioned briefly.
Chicxulub impact, that was 65 million years ago.
That was the meteorite.
That was the meteorite.
When was the big lava outpouring that had already begun to see off the dinosaurs?
It started just over 65 million years ago. So it was exactly the same period. It just precluded, or was just in front of, the Chicxulub impact, which happened virtually at the end of it.
And where was all that lava coming out? Was this a sort of unstable period of Earth's geology, so it was happening everywhere, or is it just one place on Earth?
They tend to happen periodically in different parts of the Earth. The one I was looking at was actually in India, as rifting was starting to happen in India. But we've also got one closer to home in the North Atlantic Igneous Province, just up to the north of us. They've also got one that have happened in Africa. So they happen all over the world at different periods.
So how could people have missed this before? Because I know everyone's attention has been focused on the idea that a meteorite arrived, it changed the Earth's weather so dramatically it wiped out the dinosaurs. How could they have missed 3 kilometres thick of lava deposits?
Well, we knew it was there, and we knew that large flood lava eruptions do cause mass extinctions because of this really strong correlation. What we didn't know the mechanism for getting this ash and sulfur up into the atmosphere to actually cause the global cooling, because everybody thought the lavas just flooded out, hence the name, flood lavas. But now we know that there is a mechanism for them to come out explosively and actually to put that ash up into the stratosphere where it can do its damage.
So is there any chance of one of these flood lava situations happening again? Are we due one?
That is always the question that everybody asks. Are there going to be any more mass extinctions? And why? Because we're worried about us, aren't we?
Yeah.
Well, the answer is yes, there could be another mass extinction. One, if we were hit by another really big meteorite. And two, if we did have another flood lava eruption. But what is more likely to happen, a much bigger hazard for us, is if we have a supervolcano go off. Now, supervolcano eruptions happen every 50,000 to every 100,000 years. And there are a number of supervolcanoes around the world. And one particular candidate is long overdue, and that's Yellowstone volcano in the US. Now, that is overdue by some thousands of years. So if that was to blow, it probably wouldn't cause global mass extinction, but it would certainly cause global famine. And that would probably mean the end of civilization as we know it.
What's the prospect that it will? What's going on there? Because people say the land is moving. And how long has it probably been there?
Yellowstone has been around for hundreds of thousands of years, and I think it's had three major eruptions in its lifetime. It is due for another one, and scientists have seen that the land is doming up. But, I mean, it could be another 50,000 years before it happens. It's very, very hard to predict with these things.
Would it definitely go bang, or could it just sort of go fut, like a failed firework?
I don't think it's going to go fut. I think the chances of a big bang are probably fairly high. But I don't want to be too depressing here, doom and gloom. But what I actually wanted to say was, have you ever seen a meteorite?
Actually, I have, but that was because I saw it in a museum. I've never actually held one.
Well, if you want to hold something from outer space, you can, because I've got one in my pocket.
I brought my mother-in-law to see me. Let's see. Oh, wow.
I want it.
Now, that's a stony iron meteorite.
This is incredible.
I want to see
it. I'm holding a pebble, which is just sitting in the palm of my hand. I'm going to give it to Kat in a minute because she's itching to look at it, but it's... It just looks like any other lump of rock, although it looks a bit iron. It's a bit rusty. Has it got some iron in it?
Yeah, it's a bit rusty on the outside, and you'll see it's got one polished cut surface on it, and you can actually see the iron glinting in there. So that's a lump of rock and iron, which makes it a stony iron meteorite. Now, if you notice, the outside of it is quite smooth as well.
Yeah.
That's actually something called a fusion crust, and that has happened as it actually heated up and started to melt as
in
it came
atmosphere.
Through our atmosphere and ultimately landed on Earth. Now, that one's only about as big as a golf ball, but it's also quite heavy because of all the iron in it. Now, if you can imagine a much, much larger scale meteorite and that hitting the Earth, it would probably make a bit of a mess.
That would be about 4.5 billion years old, presumably. The age of the solar system, presumably, that one.
Yes.
So that's pretty impressive. I don't think I've ever held anything quite that old.
This is pretty cool.
Well, it's nice to handle.
It
doesn't make
once.
Great radio, though. Ooh, look at this.
We'll put a picture of it on our website. This is The Naked Scientist with Chris and Kat. We've just been talking to the Open University's Janet Sumner. She's here with us. If you'd like to ask her any questions about the kind of thing she's been talking about, supervolcanoes, massive outpourings of lava, or massive meteorites that slam into the Earth and wipe out life as we know it. Up next, Peter Kellerman's on the way. He's going to talk about the science of earthquakes. But if you fancy having a go at kitchen science, don't forget, two tins of drink, shake them up, tap on the top of one, open both simultaneously, tell us what happens. Or if you want to have a go at our teaser.
We want to know, who was the inventor of the scale that we use to measure earthquakes?
Laying the facts bare, The Naked Scientists.